Chapter 3. A quote from Salaam Brick Lane by Tarquin Hall. We carried on down Fournier Street. The back of Hawks Moor's Christchurch loomed large over the Georgian townhouses built by the Huguenots at a time when Spitalfields was known as Weaver Town. Hazel drove the second-hand Volkswagen Golf she had brought down from Scotland. "I see you've joined the Sloan Rangers," teased Gemma, the Golf having become the car of choice among the trendy in Chelsea. Having appointed herself navigator, she pulled her pocket size A to Z from her bag. "They're only Sloaney if they're new and a gift from indulgent parents who don't want their children to appear elitist," said Hazel. "And this one has certainly seen better days." She patted the dash as if consoling the car. "I was going to leave it behind, but then I considered the logistics of getting Holly from Battersea to Islington and vice versa, with no tube stop on the Battersea end." They had crossed the Battersea Bridge and were driving east along the embankment. Gemma glanced at Cheyne Walk, then away. Her London seemed to be ever more populated by ghosts, and there were some she was more willing to allow real estate than others. "Tell me what you know about this friend of Tim's," she said. Tim had rung just as Hazel announced it was time to open a bottle of wine, which seemed rather fortuitous timing on his part. Hazel had listened, then put the bottle back in the fridge as she rang off, her brow creased. "Tim wants us both to meet him at a house near Brick Lane," she'd explained. "If you can, that is. A friend who's a single father hasn't come home, and Tim's worried about him and the child." Gemma had agreed willingly enough, but now she added, "Do you think Tim's overreacting? Surely it's a miscommunication of some sort." "I used to tell Tim his pulse wouldn't go up in an earthquake. I wanted him to be more emotional." Hazel's emphasis made clear what she thought of that folly. So no.